May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's a town in England in the county of Lancashire that's called Warrington. And Warrington is famous in England because it has a professional rugby team. It's also got one of the two vodka distilleries in Warrington. But it's really famous because during the Second World War, there was a prisoner of war camp in Warrington. Now, like all English towns during the war, Warrington was blacked out every evening. People had their windows covered up. There was no lights at all. And the blackouts were to try to avert possible enemy raids. Christmas time was no exception in Warrington. There were no lights on the trees, and certainly there were no lights in people's windows in their homes. So on Christmas Eve, as people walked to midnight mass, there were no Christmas lights that lit their way. It was pitch black. In 1941, in the Roman Catholic Church in Warrington, the church was filled by 11:30, except for the first three rows on both sides of the aisle. Around about 11:50, a group of German and Italian prisoners of war, flanked by armed guards, were led into the church and filled up the vacant pews. About 5 to 12, the priest stood up in front of the congregation and he made an announcement. And he said, "I'm terribly sorry, but tonight our worship is going to be without organ music because our only organist has fallen sick." And there was a real groan that went throughout the congregation. At that point, one of the German prisoners turned to one of the guards and said something, and the guard went to the priest and he said something, and the priest nodded his head, and the guard then escorted the prisoner to the organ stall. He sat down, and very slowly and very reverently, the German prisoner of war began to play the organ in such a way that it brought tears to the congregation's eyes. And that night, despite the darkened streets and darkened windows, the light of Christmas lit up that town in a way that people have never forgotten. Because that night, in a Roman Catholic church in Warrington, England, friends and enemies saw people as God intended them to be seen, as one family. That night in Warrington, the light of the Christmas star, the Spirit of Christ, lit up the darkened countryside. And that night in Warrington, England, the reading from Isaiah that's appointed for that night came alive for those people in that church. Isaiah said, "The people who walked in great darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of darkness, a light has shone." In that church in Warrington, all of those people, the British, the Italians, and the Germans, all of them had family, and all of them had friends who were in great danger. Each of them had been called to fight and to defend the cause that each were called to. Yet on that night in a Roman Catholic church in Warrington, England, it was that basic common humanity that God had given to all of his children that transcended any cause, transcended any politics, transcended any need for warfare. The world was at war in 1941. Yet in the still dark night in Warrington, England, a glimpse of the peace that could pass all understanding was seen. The light pierced the darkness. And although the darkness of war lasted a few more years, the darkness never overcame it. And the war ended. Treaties were signed. Countries were rebuilt. But you know something, despite what happened in that Roman Catholic church in Warrington on Christmas Eve, I still remember. And I still know elderly people in England, even today, who have a deep hatred of German people. You see, it wasn't the darkness of the Christmas Eve night in Warrington that was penetrated by the light of Christ. It was the darkness of hatred that lives in the hearts of people that was penetrated. Because it's always to the heart that God intends his light to change us. Not only those folks in England who have a deep hatred for Germans, but all of us. All of us. Because all of us, whether we like to admit it or not, we all have blacked out our hearts to the light. You know, we still hold very firmly, often with our very good reasons. We hold very firmly to our prejudices, to our hatreds, to our mistrusts. And we hold them often with our very good reasons. Against people of different color. People of different nationalities. People of different social status. People of different cultural differences. You know, sometimes these hatreds and these prejudices so often consume our life that it becomes toxic to our living. Now, I'm not saying that there are not some bad people, because we all know that there are some people who do incredibly evil things, whose goal is only to break down, to destroy, and to kill. But we cannot allow the actions of a few to influence our thinking on the many. We must always look beyond what we first see to see the child of God. And we need look no further than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for our example of how to do this. Read the Gospels carefully. Jesus did not see a woman. Jesus did not see a child. Jesus did not see a Samaritan, a Jew, or a foreigner. He saw a child of God. And by Christ's acceptance and by Christ's forgiveness, he challenged those people he met to a new way of living that asked them to see each other from your heart, to allow the light to penetrate that which is in a blackout, to see a person not as something but as someone. Now, Jesus was a realist. We often forget that, okay? But Jesus was a realist, and he met some people who had no intention of changing. No intention of changing. Those people who want to enjoy a blacked out heart. And he could do nothing about that. But he didn't make it an excuse for not trying. And we shouldn't either. Because if we have received him, if we have believed in his name, he has given us a power that is born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And if we are born of God, then we must allow the light to shine in the darkness of our hearts. Remove those prejudices, remove those mistrusts that harbored anger and that hate, to see all of God's children as God's children. Now, we might not get any response. But you know something, in the end, I really believe that God's not going to be concerned with the response that we receive. He's going to be concerned with the love that we showed. And I believe in the end, God's not going to be concerned about how many hearts we changed. He's going to be concerned with the changes in our own heart. And I also believe that in the end, God's not going to be concerned about the darknesses that we know as in somebody else's hearts and how they need to change it. It's going to be concerned with the darkness in our hearts and how we allow the light of Christ to bring light to it and begin to live our life with grace upon grace. This is the real power of Christmas. That power was felt in a Roman Catholic church in Warrington over 60 years ago. And it's the same power that's given to every single one of us. It's the light that gives us life. And because of Christmas, God wants us to really live. Amen.